Well, good morning again. And I would again say I hope you had a great Christmas celebration. I got a news flash. You ready for this? It's breaking news. Today is the last Sunday of 2020. There you go. I can tell you're shocked. You're like, that's what I usually think when I hear the news flashes. It's like, yeah, I already heard that. But you know, at the end of that, then I think, so is that good or bad? And some would say, I can't wait for this year to be over, right? And then others are like, well, I don't know. I remember two other years in my life that had significant events in the world, and one of them was 20 years ago, and it got the name Y2K. And I know some of you are old enough to remember that, right? Y2K, which was the year 2000. And you remember that? I remember on new, you know, it's like, hey, when it switches over to 2000, the computers are going to blow up. We're all going to be, you know, we're all going to be dead maybe. Who knows? I mean, and one person in the church that I was in, at least one that I know of, they bought a place out in Colorado, an underground house just to, you know, because who knows what's going to happen in Y2K. And then I remember New Year's Day. It was like, feels like a regular New Year's Day. Here we are. And then about 2 years later, there was another significant year that had the date 9/11 in it. I'm pretty sure that was 2001. So that 9/11 lives in infamy, right? You think, and again, I think most of you were alive then. And it was a single day, and I remember I was in the church up in North Indy in my office, and you know, somebody's coming down the hall, say, hey, you gotta look at the TV. And I'm thinking, I'm in church, I don't watch TV in church. But I went over and watched it anyway. And there was an airplane flying into this World Trade Center. And I thought, that's something's wrong there. That's not right. I mean, who directed him that way? And I didn't realize at the time, and if you remember, it was sort of like you realize, hey, there's a terrorist attack. The United States is under attack. And then we weren't sure if it would, you know, are they going to attack Indianapolis? I mean, we're not big enough for that, are we? And, you know, the airline shut down, and it had a couple of weeks. And then things got back to normal. And now we've hit 2020. So we've got Y2K. Just in this millennium, which Y2K is the beginning of a new millennium, and then there was a single day, 9/11, and now there's a whole year. And here's the question to be asked. Where in the world was God? All right, we're in a Christian church, so you know, you think, all right, I think I know the answer to that question. We used to sing a song that said, though the wrong seems off so strong, God is the ruler yet. And the people of God affirm in the year 2020, in the year 2000, in the year 2001, and in every other year, that there's one king who sits enthroned, and that is the triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit. It's his world. And I don't always have the answers to why things happen. When you hit me with the why questions, when you hit anybody with the why questions, I'm not sure, but I do know the who question. He sits on the throne, and he's not going to get off the throne in 2021. And so today we're coming to the end of Ephesians, the first section of Ephesians. So we're in Ephesians 3, and I'm glad you have your Bibles open there, which is really cool. And I think just about all biblical expositors would say Ephesians is divided kind of nicely. The first three, Paul didn't write chapters, but we do. The first three chapters deal with the first point in my sermon, which is also going to connect with the 20th verse of the third chapter, where I think Paul is kind of summing things up. And the first three chapters are sort of a description of God. It's I've entitled it in my sermon, Know God Better. That one of your goals, matter of fact, your number one goal for 2021 should be this, know God better. That ought to be your goal. That ought to be your mission. That ought to be what you go after. And Paul goes after it. And I've used this because I think, you know, if you're in church, you ought to have multi-syllabic words that are big. So a good word that goes along with knowing God better is orthodoxy. Orthodoxy. We want to be orthodox, right? I mean, I'm sure that's what you think. Orthodoxy, you know, we've used the word orthodontic. And if you've ever had kids, that great day of, guess what, your teeth are crooked, you need to get them straight. And so orthodontic means straight teeth or something. The ortho part is straight. And orthodoxy is we want to have an accurate and a correct view of God. And that ought to be goal number one, not just for 2021, but certainly for 2020, for every day of 2021, I need to know God. And then the second point in the sermon, which comes from verse 21, is going to be this. We need to not only know God better, but we need to glorify Him always. Know Him, glorify Him. That's our action. And so the word that goes with that, orthodoxy is I have a correct or a straight view of God. Orthopraxy, I mean, there's another good word. You know, you can always prefix words and put Latin in it, and who knows what you're saying. Orthopraxy is correct or straight practice. How do I live out to the glory of God? And every day of 2021, your mission is know God and then glorify Him forever. It sounds like a creed. Or actually, and I was going to read out of a confession, and a lot of you probably know the Westminster Confession. It says, what's the chief duty of man? It's to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. There's a Baptist confession that asks before that, who's the chiefest of beings? Which I like that word, chiefest of beings. And the chiefest of beings is God. And so, who's the chiefest of being? Answer that in 2021. It's God. And so what's your chief end? It's to glorify God. There you go. Now you've got your New Year's resolutions. You don't have to stay up all New Year's Eve and try to figure out what to do. That's what you get to do. And we're going to look at it in the text. So if you're in Ephesians 3 and in verse 20, the first point, and Paul is just a delightful writer. And he's going to talk about knowing God better, or what I've called orthodoxy. And look at how he describes it. It says, now to Him. That Him is a pronoun, the antecedent to the pronoun. It's referring back to the previous verse, God. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. That's God. And you know what? Here's another. I mean, just since I'm sure you're looking for New Year's goals, you ought to memorize Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. And you ought to live on Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. And you ought to start off with saying, I need to know God better. And there's at least three points that come out of Ephesians 3, 20. And again, a good pastor can make you think the sermon's going to be shorter because there's only two points. But then you put three subpoints in there, it's going to be the same length, so get ready. And the three subpoints in this first point, first of all, it's this. The word power is sort of the dominant word of this theme. And power doesn't just mean God has bigger arms than you have. He can pick up bigger rocks. It's a statement about His wholeness, about His, it says here, He's able to do far more abundantly than all you could ever ask or think. God is omnipotent, but He is also everything else. And there's three words that describe it that don't come out quite as well in English. They kind of do. The first one is this, now to Him who is able. That little word able comes from the same root word as later on in the text, according to the power. So it's not a good translation, but it could be a good interpretation. To Him who has the power to do far more abundantly than all you would ever ask or think. So there's to Him who is able, and then according to the power at work. And that word work has a root, if you were to trace that word, that it's powerful work. So it's to Him who is powerful enough to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power which is powerfully at work within us. That's who God is. And as I think about that, I think, so what does His power look like? And again, as a pastor, you ask questions that aren't totally redundant. I'm hoping you're thinking that way. So then we go back in Ephesians, because remember, the first part of the Ephesians is orthodoxy. It's trying to get God straight, trying to get Him right, trying to know Him better. So go to Ephesians 1, since you only have to flip like two pages. And in Ephesians 1, you find an incredibly beautiful description of the triune God. Ben went through it several months ago, and it was just a delightful journey, I think. And let me just trace it with you again. In verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, that sounds Christianese, doesn't it? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. And then look at verse 4. Even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. So when was that? Well, that was before Y2K. It was before I was alive. It was before you were alive. It was before anybody was alive. It was before anything that was. There was God. And at that time, he chose his people. He chose us. And so, you know, I think about that, and that split churches. There's a lot of division in theology about that, which I think is really unfortunate, because I think it's supposed to be, the church is supposed to be a group of people that smile and say, God chose us. He chose us before the foundation of the world. So that you're here sitting in the seat that you're sitting in, and God knew you would be sitting. It's not by accident. And you know, if you keep coming to the same church, I've learned this too, that people generally sit in the same seats all the time, which is proof of God's sovereignty, you know? I mean, you're stuck. You can't get out of that seat. And I know some of you have moved around a little bit. But the point is this, God is not surprised by 2020. He didn't wake up and say, COVID, what's that? That's not God. God, from eternity past, not only knew but foreordained whatsoever would come to pass. And I know that that can create some thoughts in your mind. It ought to create delight in your heart if you're one of his chosen ones, as you say, thank you, God. And then it goes on. This is the Father. And it says, not only did he choose us in him, but then in verse 5, he predestined us for adoption through Christ according to the purpose of his will. So there you go. There's two really heavy theological truths. That's good orthodoxy, where God from eternity past chooses. And not only that, that's past. Future is, he's got a destiny in mind. It's not just randomly things happen. It's that God is determining and bringing about what he wills. And I don't know about you, but I say, thank you, God, because I don't understand COVID. I don't understand some of the tragedies that have happened, but I do understand God, who foreordained and predestined and all those kind of, that's who the Father is. Yeah, so I tell you what, here's what our mission is in 2021, and that is to get to know that God better. Get to know him better, because he's got a handle on stuff. And not only the Father, but if you continue on in Ephesians 2, then you've got the Son in verse 11. In him we have redemption through his blood, that's Jesus' blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. So you want to talk about power, this Father has it, he's got it under control. He's chosen and predestined. And then you've got the Son, and he's forgiven us of our sins. You know, my favorite music group, I'll bet, is nobody else's favorite music group. At least, maybe it is, I don't know. They don't even exist anymore. It's GLAD. Anybody ever heard of GLAD? Got any GLAD people? All right, we got a couple GLAD people. And I don't know if you like GLAD or not, but I liked them. They used to sing old hymns and reinterpret them. Yeah, usually I get that. I'm like, yeah, they're okay. Not that great. But the name GLAD, they got it from a song that was kind of their theme song, and it goes like this, and I'm not going to sing it, because I don't want to ruin your 2020 that's been such a good year, you know. If I were to sing, that would just blow it up for you. They said, be glad, every debt that you ever had has been paid up in full by the grace of the Lord. Be glad, be glad. So in 2020, and some of you, you may have been like Kathy and I, it was more of an inconvenient year than that we really had tragedy for us personally. But I know of people that had tragedies personally that were horrible and horrific and terrible, and yet the greatest problem the world has is our sin, and that's been addressed in the cross of Jesus Christ. So you want to know him better? The Father has it. He's chosen and predestined, and the Son is the one that's taking care of our biggest problem. Do we really believe that? And then since you're Trinitarian, you got to get the Trinity in, right? So you go to the end. Paul was really a good Trinitarian theologian. He was orthodox. And then the Holy Spirit, you go down to verse 13. We're sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it. The Father's got beginning and end. The Son has this redemptive thing. The Holy Spirit indwells the people of God, and it's the stamp of God saying, I've got you. I got you. You can be secure. If your security is in your retirement 401k, good luck with that. If your security is in the next presidential regime, good luck with that. If your security is in a vaccine that's going to come, and by the way, I'm glad for the vaccine. I hope my 401k hangs on until I don't need it anymore. You know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. I hope the next presidential, I hope that they start following God and that things go. I'm going to pray for those things. But you know what? My security is not in any of those. It's in the Spirit of God who dwells within the people of God. So, church, as we come to 2021, we have a God that's powerful. And here's the way the text says it. To him that's able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think according to the power at work within us. He's powerful. Not only that, point number two under point number one, is he does far more abundantly than all you ask or think. I've always been intrigued with that language. I memorized it in King James, and it says he has done exceeding abundantly above all we ever ask or think. Some think that Paul may have coined a word by putting together some other words and trying to come up with, how do you describe that what this God is powerful enough to do blows your mind? I mean, it transcends what you ask or think. The word that's actually used there that's translated in the ESV far more abundantly is a compound word. The first part of that word is huper. She would have guessed that, right? Maybe not. It comes into English as hyper. And I've got grandkids, and I've seen hyper, you know, kids. We were out a couple weeks ago doing Christmas stuff with them, and it was fun, and it was a little bit hyper. But then I went with my oldest grandson and played a video game. And I am a master of video games, not. Here's my expertise in video games. But you know what? I want to spend time with my grandson. So we went down to the basement, and he said, hey, Granddad, here's all you got to do. If you push this button forward, it goes fast. And if you hit these side things, it shoots. And so here was my strategy. I thought this was a brilliant strategy. I'm pushing as far forward as I can, and I'm keeping my fingers on the shooting. So I figure I'll be shooting all the time. How can I go wrong? I don't know, but I think I did go wrong because all of a sudden it was like, you're about to die, but you're going to go into hyperspeed. Have any of you guys gone into hyperspeed? It goes, and I didn't even know what that was, but I wanted to preach a sermon to Parker and say, hey, let me tell you about the God who does exceeding abundantly, who pushes you into hyperspeed. You know, you're thinking, hey, I'm going along pretty well, but God says, no, I got another level. I got another, it's exceeding abundantly. Or it's far more abundant than all you can ask or think. And as I thought of illustrations of that, a number of them came to mind. We did a series this summer on Ruth. It was outside, believe it or not. We actually met outside. It was nice. Yeah, it really was. And then it got cold, and so then we had to move in. And you remember the story of Ruth. Ruth was a Moabitess. She lived outside of the land of Israel, which was the land where God's people were. She was a little girl, like little girls, you know, and she had a sister, and they grew up, and I'm sure they talked about, hey, someday when we get married, what do you think that's going to be like? I hear my granddaughters talking about that, you know, and I'm thinking, yeah, when you're 40, you can start to think about that a little bit. And I said that to my daughters, and it didn't work at all. So, you know, they are, and then all of a sudden into town comes these two eligible guys, but they're Jews. And, you know, you can wrestle with all the Jews marrying Moabites, etc., but they got married. Oh, they all didn't live happily ever after because the dad and the two husbands died and you had three widows. And in the ancient Near East, that's about as bad as it gets because it was a very patriarchal society. And now what's going to happen? And so Naomi, the mom, said, I'm going back home, but you girls ought to stay here. This is your turf. And you remember Naomi? I mean, she gave that great statement. That isn't really a wedding statement because she was a widow, but it says, hey, where you're going, I'm going. Your people are going to be my people. Your God is going to be my God. I'm committing myself to Yahweh, to the God of Israel, to the only God. And then she goes back, and I guarantee you that Ruth didn't think, when I go back, there's probably going to be some guy, I don't know, maybe Boaz or something. I don't know what his name will be. And he'll see me and he'll want to. She's thinking, I'm going back with this widow and we're going back. Matter of fact, she takes off and says, I'm going to do what the poor people do. I'm going to glean. I'm just going to try to get enough food. We're going to try to survive from day to day. And it just so happens that Boaz sees her and says, man, I think I'm going to get more involved in this lady. And then, you know how the story goes, Boaz marries her. I guarantee you she never thought that there would be a Boaz-type person that would marry her. She never thought, she might have thought, hey, I might have a baby. She never thought that her baby would be the grandson or the grandfather of David that eventually, she didn't even know David. And she didn't know that from David would come the Messiah. But you know what? God does exceeding abundantly above all we ever ask or think. That's what he does. And sometimes, and I'm sure of this for the most part, we're not aware of everything that God's doing. But I'm here to tell you that sovereign God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ever ask or think. And let me show you a video. This was my experience just 2 weeks ago. And hopefully it works. We'll see. Now, did you hear what they said? Did you hear their first two words? But God. So here's a grandfather. And I had no idea they were going to do this. And we were celebrating Christmas with them. And their mom said, here, go up. You've got something you're going to show to your grandmother and your granddad. And they quoted that. And I said, I can't think of a better Christmas gift than that God would do exceeding abundantly above all I would ever ask or think. And the one on the right, we prayed for her, I don't know, a year and a half ago. She broke her leg and was in a full body cast. The next one, the Alex in the middle, I got to baptize her in the fall. And then Parker, I baptized him a while ago. And there are three children that are wanting to follow the Lord. And my heart says, that's exceeding abundantly above all I would ever ask or think. Because whatever you think is like real, you know, all right, God, you're going to do exceeding abundantly. I'd like $1 million, God. Maybe you'll give me three. I think that's not the point of the text, is it? The point of the text is that God is out saving people and doing what we should wish, but how can you expect that God would take dead, sinful people and bring them to life? That's exceeding abundantly. And thank you, guys. They may even be watching this. I may tell them to watch it just because what a delight. My other grandkids are good, too. So anyway, God is powerful. God does exceeding abundantly above all we ever ask or think. And then thirdly, under who God is, it's according to the power at work within us. Now, that doesn't mean that you go to yourself. I don't even know if they have bookstores that have self-help sections. You go to Amazon and say self-help, you know, and it gives all these books. You have all you need within you and all that kind of stuff. What this is saying is that what you have within you is not you, it's him. And I think, isn't that mind-boggling? And Pastor Ben, for Christmas Eve, was preaching on the text previous to this and did a really nice job in a really short period of time, which I admire that when you can preach a lot in a short period of time. And in verse 20, it ends with, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. And later in Ephesians, it talks about being filled with the Spirit, that there's something within the redeemed of God, the elect of God, the people of God, that the power of God, as we have been redeemed by Christ and we're sealed by the Holy Spirit, that we're able to experience this incredible power because God is within us. Church, do we believe that God is here? I think I've asked that question before. And if we do, man, that ought to just kind of take your mind and say, wow, man, that's the kind of power that I need. I don't need the power that an inocular or a vaccine can. I mean, I may need it, and by God's grace, I'm willing to do the vaccine. And I don't necessarily need a government that figures everything out. I need a God whose power is within the church to bring about what God's will is. And that's who this God is. So what do we do with that? Let me give you three applications. So we had three points underneath it, and now three applications. The first one is this. 2021, you need to get to know God better. The way you do that is in his word. How's that for a magic cure? I mean, how's that for the pill? You need to be in His Word. And it isn't just so that you can be smarter. It isn't just so that you can learn big words like orthodoxy. It's so that you can know God. And by the way, know is more than just cognitive. It's affective, meaning it's your affections, that you love God. And you know what you love. Or you love what you know. I guess that's the way it goes. And so you're going to know God so that you can love Him. You ought to be in His Word. And Ben mentioned out there, you want to read through the Bible in a year. I did this in the past year, and I'm not done. You know what I got left for the last week? It's the book of Revelation, one of my favorite books. Because you know what? The book of Revelation says this: the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. That's the focal point of the book of Revelation. So I'm looking forward to reading it again this coming week. And I'll be honest with you, in the 365 days, or however many there were, in 2020, I missed a couple of days reading my Bible. So fire me. How can you be a pastor and miss? And I'm like, that's a good question. I don't have a good answer for that. But you know what? Then I caught up. And I tell you what, you're reading through the Bible in a year and you have to catch up. It motivates you to not get too far behind. But the point of it isn't, okay, now I did it, check box. It's that I was able to walk with God through 2020. Here's my goal for 2021, and that is to read through the New Testament. I'm going to take a smaller chunk. You know how many chapters are in the New Testament? I don't know if you had. I wouldn't have known, but I Googled it, and there's 260, according to Google. And there's 365 days, so you see, I got a bunch of days off. And that isn't the point. When I get to 260, because I'll keep catching up if I happen to miss a day, then I'll find out something else to do in the end of the year. And I just want to take it a chapter at a time, go a little bit slower and savor in the Gospels who Jesus is. And to hear Matthew and Mark and Luke and John tell me about Jesus. And then have Luke tell me in Acts about the church. And then Paul and Peter and John and James tell me about how does a church live. And then Revelation says, so where's this all going? And I just want to savor it a little bit more. So I'll throw this challenge out to you. If you're thinking, all right, I think I need to be in the Scriptures, and you don't know what to do, do a chapter of the New Testament a day. And if you want to, send me an email, and I'll make a list, whatever you call it, a distribution list of everybody that's going to do that. And if you want to do it, read it through the Bible in a year, get a group of people, and encourage one another. Let's be in the Word because we want to know God. And then the second application is this. So if you're in a Christian church, it's almost a new year. The goal for the year ought to be read your Bible and pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. One of my granddaughters sang that song to us too. Read your Bible, pray every day. Man, prayer is that spiritual discipline that somehow seems to, we seem to not quite be able to figure out how to pull it off. And part of it is that I don't believe this verse that said, to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you ask. How do you ask? I mean, I tell you, the best way I can think to ask is you pray and you say, God Almighty, I'm praying to you. And here's what I think would be a great challenge for College Park Greenwood in 2021 is that we be a church that prays big prayers. I mean, that we say, like the big prayer could be, I'm sick, help me to get better. And that's a pretty big prayer. Let me tell you a bigger prayer. Thy kingdom come. Lord, we want to see your kingdom come. What does that look like? Well, at least it looks like my neighbor is someone who is from an ethnic background that doesn't know much about Christianity. He's a really nice guy. And you know what? I've told him that I was a pastor of a church down the street because we just live a mile away. I'm going to pray this year that he'll come to Christ. I think that's a pretty big prayer. That's like exceeding abundantly above all I would ask or think. And you know what? Maybe you've got relationships with people. Maybe it even happened at Christmas that aren't that. Pray that God will do exceeding abundantly above all you would ever ask or think. And you know what? God answers all of our prayers. Some are yes, some are no, some are hey, hang on, we'll see. And yet that God who is the supreme God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ever ask or think. And sometimes I think I've made him too little. It's like, little God, you can take care of this, but not this. Or I ask him to do big things and he does it differently than I think. Because it's beyond what I can ask or think. I think, God, here's how I know you're going to answer this. You're going to give me more money. And God says, no, I'm going to let you hang on for a while so you know me better. I think, all right, God, if that's my mission to know you better, then you know what the best way to get to that end is. And you're going to do exceeding abundantly above all that I would ever ask or think. And then thirdly, be ready for the unexpected in 2021. You know, if it was a year ago and I was preaching, you would think I was prophetic.
2020 is going to be the most unusual year in your whole life.
You know, I wish I had that on tape. That would have been great. I don't even know if they do tape anymore. Whatever you do, I wish it had been recorded. So here's what I am going to say. In 2021, God is going to do exceeding abundantly above all you ever ask or think, so get ready to expect it. And I don't know what that means, because I'm not a prophet, and most of the prophets didn't actually tell specific events. They said God's going to bless those that bless that obey His law, and you're going to find curses if you don't. That if you're obedient to Him, you're going to be blessed. That was prophetic utterance. And so the prophetic utterance from this pulpit this year is going to be God's going to do exceeding abundantly above all you would ever ask or think, and be ready for it. And it could be hard. But I can tell you this, it could also be incredibly delightful. And all of it will work together for good to those who love God. So, goal number one, 2021. I'm saving you a lot of time on New Year's Day. It's know God better. Be orthodox. Have a straight view of God. And we're going to spend eternity getting this bigger view of God because He's infinite. So you can't get big enough. But I tell you what, every time you find out and learn and experience more of God, the more delightful He is. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Secondly, in verse 21, here's goal number two, and that is to glorify God always. And I typically preach longer on my first point than my second point. But listen to this verse 21. To Him, and that's God, be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I really would encourage you to memorize those verses because they're pretty easy and they kind of flow. To Him, that's to God, be glory. The word glory is another one of those Christian words. You know, we even sing Christmas carols, Gloria, which is Latin, I think. And In Excelsis Deo, which I think means glory to God in the highest. And you remember that picture of glory that the angels were proclaiming in this. You talk about doing exceeding abundantly above all you would ever ask or think, and that's sending Jesus to be a little baby in Bethlehem of Judea. I mean, that's like, man. That's the way God does this thing. And then they got these angels that are like, that looks like God. And they're singing, glory to God in the highest. The idea of glory in Old Testament Hebrew nuancing is typically thought of as weighty. It's like if you had a scale and what weighs the most is considered the most valuable. At least that would be the picture of it. And one of the pictures of a guy that I really enjoy his sermons, Tim Keller, preached a sermon on Isaiah 6, and it's one that I heard many, many years ago, and it still sticks in my mind, and a lot of you know Isaiah 6. Isaiah 6 is a great start of the new year chapter, because Isaiah, in the worst time in Israel's history, or at least in a bad time, he got a view of God, and it was, I saw Him high and lifted up, and around Him was this entourage of angels, these seraphim, and we don't even know exactly what they look like, but whatever they were angelic, significant beings, and they're saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with His glory. And then it describes His glory and says, the temple shook because of the glory of God. And Keller used this phrase that has stuck with me. He said, the church needs a view of God that will shake the church, and we need a God quake, not an earthquake. We need God to come into the church and the church then to be different, where the church is a group of people who have been shaken by God. And when the outsiders come and they look, they'll say, man, there's something within them that's outside of them, And what is it? And it's the glory of God, that God inundates every part of our life. And my prayer for our church is that in 2021, we have a renewed God quake, that we be church that just reverberates with the glory of God. To Him be glory. And then that prepositional phrase, in the church. And again, if I'd been God, I think I would have said, I think I get better glory if I send my angels down, because they know how to sing in Latin. And they'll sing glory. And I mean, they look impressive. I mean, they're bright and they're shiny and they're... And God says, I want my glory to be spread around the earth by my image, which are my people, which is my church. The church isn't a building, it's people. The church is us. The church is College Park Greenwood, and it's bigger than College Park Greenwood, but we're a small little manifestation of it. It's the people that have been redeemed by God. That's us. And the glory of God comes out through us. So how does that happen? And if you read through the rest of Ephesians, in that orthopraxy, the practice of the church, you'll see a church that glorifies God. Let me just real quickly just give you a couple little tidbits, because we're going to be talking about this in the months ahead after we get done with the Reset series. But like if you go over to Ephesians 4, you'll find that the church is made up of people who put off the old self or the old man and put on the new man. So it's like, and man is, self could be a translation of that, that they're different. There's a whole body of people that are different, and here's what it looks like. They put off falsehood, they quit lying, and they speak the truth. There's integrity. And boy, when we get to that, there's a lot that goes on with that. Not only that, but they're angry and they don't sin, which I think means most of the time I'm not angry, because most of the time when I'm angry, I'm sinful. But that we're people who are living, and we don't just fly off the handle. There's somehow we've got self-control. And then it goes on and it says, they don't steal, but they work hard so that they can get bigger cars and bigger houses. No, it says, so that they can share with anyone in need. I mean, that's kind of mind-boggling. There's this group of people, and they're bringing glory to God because they've put off the old and they put on the new. And they're living it out amongst themselves. And there's no corrupt talk coming out of their mind, or out of their mouth, or out of their mind, which might mean they're never on Twitter. Because if you're on Twitter, it seems like most of it's corrupt. Not all of it. There's some good stuff there. They're maybe not on social media as well. They're in the church edifying, encouraging one another, and they're kind to one another. And by the way, you go over to Ephesians 5, and here's what else you find. This glorifying to God church is a church that has husbands and wives in it. You know, husbands and wives, and the husbands love their wives like Christ loved the church. Now let that blow your mind, husbands, because that blows my mind as a husband. Yeah, and then you know what the wives respect their husbands, and they're submissive to them, which doesn't mean they're doormats. It means that they complement each other, and the two come together, and they reflect the glory of God, and the world looks and says, that's crazy, because, you know, that's just, that doesn't happen. And then the kids obey their parents. And it isn't a slavish type thing, because the parents aren't provoking the children to wrath. And we had a good parenting series that you ought to listen to if you need some help in that regard, because that's how you glorify God. And in your workplace, and we could go on, and Ephesians does, and it says this, if you know God, you're going to glorify Him, or you need to glorify Him, and you need to glorify Him forever. And you glorify God, as it says, in the church and in Christ Jesus. And I think that idea is the glorying of the church is when Christ is made much of. And I hope every time you come and meet an assembly here, you're going to hear Christ exalted, Christ exalted, Christ exalted. And it's through all generations. So there is this chronology to it. And it goes on forever and ever. And then the church says, amen. Amen, amen, which is a Hebrew word that means faithful, true. That's it. So church, 2020, we're on the doorstep, right? Into 2021. Can I suggest two goals for you? Can I tell you two goals the Bible would have for you? The first one is this, get to know God better. And you'll never regret that. You'll say, man, He tastes better than ever. And secondly, just spend your life glorifying Him. I tried to think of an illustration, and I do visual aids, and so I got one, but it's already here. It's this door. You see that door over there? There's another one over there, but I'm going to do this door because I don't know why. And there's a book, in the book of Revelation, which I'm about to read. It has letters to seven churches. The first one is a church in Ephesus. And you know what this epistle is to. And the church in Ephesus, this epistle was probably a circular letter. So I think it probably went to maybe the seven churches. And Paul would have written maybe 30 years before John, something like that. And the seventh church, you remember the seventh church? It was the church of Laodicea. And they had some problems that remind me of our churches. And at the end of that epistle, or the end of that little letter, Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and open the door, I'll come into him and sup with him and he with me. Remember that verse? When I was a kid, we always used that verse to say, if you're not a Christian, God's knocking on your heart door, open it and let him in. I don't think that's the main interpretation of that text. Now, I do think that if God is calling you, you do need to respond. I think there is human response, so it's not all bad. Here's what I think the primary meaning is: Church of Jesus Christ. Laodicea, but I think the application is to the church in general. Christ wants to be center foremost. He wants to be eating with us and fellowshipping with us. And 2021, College Park Church, Greenwood, and we are so delighted to be a part of this church. And we see God doing some really cool things, and may He do more because He wants to do more. He wants to do exceeding abundantly above all we ever ask or think. And if you could get that picture that here He is saying, hey, don't be satisfied yet with me because there's more to come. And let's experience that incredible glory of God. Let me pray. Father, oh, I thank You for who You are. And Lord, even in saying that prayer, I recognize and we recognize that we don't fully understand who You are, and we never will. But You've revealed enough of Yourself that when we have worked at it, even a little bit, and Your Spirit has opened our hearts, we've tasted and seen that You're good. So I pray for my church, for our church, for Your church, that in this coming year, we'll want to know You better and we'll work at it. And that then we'll want to glorify You always, whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, that we'll do it all to the glory of God. And Lord, those are big, big requests, and yet we are convinced that You are able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ever ask or think according to the power that is within us. So Lord, for Your glory and our good, grant us that big prayer, and I thank You for all that in Jesus' name. Amen.